we will kick this off then. And I'm going to have Twyla Height, the city finance officer, kind of give a recap of where we've been and how we got to this point. And then I have a few more words, and then we'll go from there. So, Twyla, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. We wanted to provide an update of where we're at today for those who haven't been able to follow all the steps along the process. The city had presented a proposed ordinance that was based on research that we had done with other communities that had successful programs that were implemented across the state of South Dakota. Those examples were used to create the draft that we originally presented. We wanted to make sure that we noted that this is not a new requirement. The property maintenance code was adopted by the city as far back as 1998. I believe it goes back even further than that. We wanted to make sure that we focused on the program and let people know that it's the idea is to work with the landlords, to be a partnership, and so that we could provide safe and healthy residential rental units in our community. The current process is a complaint basis, and so we often run into issues where we only run across the issues when the tenants are actually willing to come forward. And a lot of times, unfortunately, those do result in evictions of those tenants. And so that was kind of what prompted the initial review and creation of the program. We also want to be able to provide information on the landlord and the tenants' rights and responsibilities. So we have that information also available out on the city's website. I'm trying to follow the slides here a little bit too. We did hold three public meetings to provide the information to the community, offer an opportunity to answer questions, review the program, take feedback, and we did that through those meetings. We took those comments. We did make revisions to the proposed ordinance. There were three major areas that we made changes. One of the comments that we heard was regarding the agent language that was in the ordinance, so that was modified to be changed to representative. The idea with that was that we have someone that we can contact, whether it's an agent or a representative. It's just a local. It's got to be within 50 miles of the city of Pierre. So we have someone that we can get into touch with and make that contact and make those build those relationships. We also had comments regarding the licensing language. That was changed to registration, so the licensing portion has been removed. It is just a registration program. And we also added the list of items to be inspected within the ordinance. So we had provided the checklist of the inspection, but it wasn't actually in the body of the ordinance. So that was one of the revisions that we made. So if the ordinance is adopted, the actual list of items that will be inspected is included in there. And that would take a change of the commission to modify that so there's no confusion of the intent of the ordinance with the staff that's providing the actual inspection portion of that. There were a couple of minor changes to the inspection checklist as well regarding the chipping paint and some holes in the wall with the sheetrock and stuff like that with some minor things that were removed out of there. But the list in its entirety is in the body of the ordinance. And then we also proposed the change to the fee structure. It originally included a $20 per structure fee as well as a $15 per unit. The $20 per structure was removed, so it's only the $15 per unit, and that's across the board. So that other piece has been removed. We provided postcards to let everyone know as we went that the information was out there and it was out on the city's website. And when we'd be coming back here to this meeting for the public hearing portion. We just wanted to go through and highlight some items in the checklist, the fire safety, and provide some examples here. In this case, there's the fire safety. The picture that you're looking at there does include an electrical hazard that we would ask to be remedied. And you can see from the picture there, these are just examples of some of the types of things that we see when we go in. And it does have in the checklist the reference to the property maintenance code. So you have all the language there that's referenced. And so you can see that, however, this is an easy fix. Often we run across situations like this. Structural stability, here's another example regarding, we did have a comment regarding broken or missing windows. Often when there are those issues, there's also some structural regarding the exterior of the home or the structure, and so that kind of goes hand in hand. So there's an example there that you can see. This would be considered a violation, and it would be requested to be repaired. The next slide, again, on the structural stability regarding basements. In this case, you can see the wall is leaning about 8 inches and at the risk of collapsing. And so obviously that poses a hazard for the upper structures. That bottom area that you see there doesn't look inhabited, but if there's structures up or floors up above that are, then that's obviously an issue. That would be something that we would address through the program. And the last one, we have this one categorized under living standards regarding hot and cold water. You can see here that there's a plug in the faucet. So either there's no hot or cold water, or it's not able to function. Obviously, the Uniform Plumbing Code calls for fixtures that are in working order, and it doesn't appear either of these are. So this would be an item that would be flagged for repair. Just want to go over the point again that these items are all in the existing property maintenance code that has been adopted by the city as far back as the 1998 that I had mentioned, and I'm pretty sure that it was built in. That was the year that it was taken out of the building code and separated into its own code, but it was in there under the building code prior to that. So these are not new requirements. One of the comments that we had gotten or questions was regarding owner-occupied structures, if they are required to adhere to that same code. You know, just as the comment was, if that was an owner-occupied residence next door with those same issues that were just mentioned tonight, that would exactly be under the same property maintenance code, and those would be addressed the same way. So this program, though, is just for the non-owner occupied, so it does cover anyone that is not living within the structure. And so this program is just for that, but it is not new requirements. They've been in place, like I said, for a really long time, and so it's just putting an actual registration and inspection process in place to make sure that we're getting in and taking a look at them and getting them all to the same standard. And with that, I'll turn it over to the mayor.
All right. Thank you, Twyla. Any comments from any of the commissioners at this point? Okay. I've just got a couple comments here before we get started with the public comment period. The way that we're going to do this is I'll open up the public comment period, and then I would like to take proponents first. Everyone that's proponent or supporter of the program, we'd like to hear your comments first, and then after that, then we will hear opponents or folks that have questions or concerns on the program. So also, the commission will not take action on this tonight. We want to hear your concerns, your ideas. We've heard from many of you from the three informational meetings that we had. We've gotten emails. We've talked individually to folks. And so, you know, we've looked at all those comments and tried to apply those to where it's a partnership that would work for everybody. So that being said, I will open up the public comment portion at this time. So is there anyone from the public that would like to address their comments for proponents or support of the program? We heard from Joan there. Are there any others? Okay. I see no. Yes.
Do
you want to
talk about limiting it? Are you
going to
limit the time
that
anybody?
And yes, we're going to. You know, there, it looks like there's a lot of people that want to speak. We're going to limit the testimony to 3 minutes. So try and make your comments short and to the point. And then we'll let you know when your time up. We'll try to keep to that. And if it's been said once, you know, we don't need to hear it from everybody. I'm guessing everybody probably has about the same concerns. So, yes, let us know who you are and your comments, please.
Thank you, Mayor Harding and City Council. I do appreciate the time. My name is Lori Jacobson. I am a property owner here in Pierre. And my purpose is not to grandstand or pretend that rules are not part of our everyday life. I believe we all understand that regulation is a significant part of everything we do, and rules are here to protect us all. Whether we are a student educator relationship, a speeder, or law enforcement. And landlord-tenant situation is included with that. What's the old saying? Rules are made because someone did something stupid. This is indeed a great undertaking by the peer city staff. After attending the prior meetings and reviewing online comments and documents, I still have a few questions, which I will share with the city staff at a later time. But the requirements in the registration packet should not be difficult to meet. There are a few items which do need clarifying. The rental inspection checklist is well-defined and follows the International Property Maintenance Code, which anyone can find online. There are a few areas which do need clarification, including the egress section, dryer vents, and structural issues. And with that, I do mean the cleanliness and sanitation, which could potentially be both a landlord and tenant issue. My actual question with that, is this your actual inspection form or just a guidance document? Ordinance 1834 seems logical, but again, I believe requires some clarification. With that, in regards to section 107, 108, 109, 110, and 114. Also, will the inspection be conducted by a third party, and how will you choose the locations to start with? Will it be a lottery system, or will it be done by mapping? At the time and effort that went into the development of this program came about due to the lack of attention and due diligence of some landlords that failed to put the effort into their properties. As we all drive through town, I hope we consider those boarded up properties. And then let's ask ourselves these questions. Would you let your child sleep in a basement with just a single egress? Would you let your elderly parent stay in a home with no heat or AC? Would you move in and spend an entire week there just as it is? Thank you for allowing us all to work together and allowing us as tenants and landlords to have a voice in this process. I appreciate your time this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments, proponents, or support of the rental inspection program? All right, I see no one else moving towards the microphone, so we will hear from opponents. So, opponents of the rental inspection programs or questions? Yes, let everybody know who you are and your concerns.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Yep, my name is Jill Madsen, and I am president of Binder Midwest Properties, and we have three rental properties here in Pierre that total about 179 units. And I also serve on the board as vice chair for the South Dakota Multi-Housing Association. So I just wanted to say that, you know, we, like many other property owners and management firms, take great pride in our properties and do whatever we can to make sure they're well-maintained for our residents, property owners, neighbors, and community. Regular inspections are done by our site managers, regional managers, property owners, insurance companies, and mortgage companies. And any property with any type of HUD or federal subsidy also has additional inspections by those agencies. Most property owners reinvest money into their properties to make sure they are well maintained and safe and secure for their residents. And I understand that there are legitimate concerns with rental properties in Pierre, as there are in any community, but they represent a small percentage of properties. And it's my understanding that you already have measures in place to handle dwelling complaints from residents and concerned citizens. I believe that our tax dollars could be better spent in the city of Pierre to focus on the measures to getting information out to the public about how to file complaints with the city of unsafe living conditions. Then, when issues are brought before the city, you have the right to proceed and address those issues with the property owners. Again, these issues should be handled on individual property basis with those owners. The penalties that are proposed for failure to comply with the residential registration include fee violations of $100 to $500 per violation. the potential and most aggressive action of shutting off utilities to a property for failure to register, which will only harm the residents that you're trying to protect. Other communities do have rental registration programs. There's one in Sioux Falls that does not have inspections or fees associated with it. Their main objection is to gain contact information of the property owners and the property managers that represent those properties. And then if a complaint is filed on the property, they know who to contact and can address the issues with those properties and those property owners directly. It's their goal to protect the citizens by providing a path of communication if there are issues that arise. I do ask that you take into consideration some of the things I've said today and maybe reduce some of the fees and the other issues in the ordinance that affect property owners and with the fee structure and the shutting off of the utilities. And just, again, appreciate your time tonight.
Thank you. Further opponents? Concerns? All right. Welcome. Let everybody know who we are. Most do, probably.
Yes. Good evening. J.J. Lynn, resident of Pier for a long time now, of Fort Pier, and own rentals in the Pier and Fort Pier area. Today, I rise in opposition of the ordinance. Points I'd like to make. The tenants were not notified in this meeting in the same fashion as the landlords, yet the tenants are the ones that will be ultimately affected. In addition, not one landlord was asked to sit on the committee that I'm aware of, nor was a tenant asked to sit on the committee. It was discussed at the organization meetings, and again, still to my knowledge, I'm not aware of any input from a tenant or landlord. The ordinance will raise the baseline of acceptable rentals in a pier, resulting in a cost of housing and potentially eliminating the structures from the rental market. Let me say that again. If you raise the baseline, you're going to move up the standard of cost of living for everyone in the city of Pier, because everybody will have to move up. And also, it could eliminate some of those properties from being available to be rentals. Okay? For this right now, it's just terrible timing. I would say that occupancy is near or at full capacity right now. In addition, we have job opening signs all the way across to the city where we cannot even bring people in right now with the housing that we have available in its current condition. Discrimination, that's another one that I find that's interesting in this subject. The city is holding tenants to a higher standard and taking away the basic rights of privacy, ability to negotiate, and freedom of choice by implementing this ordinance. In 2019, I attended a meeting where Mayor Harding, and Commissioner Johnson, Vonna Johnson, were present. At that time, I asked why you weren't setting the inspections for all residences in Pier. And here we sit 2 years later with the same question. I've sold houses with the same violations as you have concerns on today. With your current thought process, someone can buy a home with flaws, yet the less fortunate do not have the option to rent one with the same flaws. My understanding is you already have the regulations in the ordinances. I won't go through that again. That's already been talked about. In summary, I'm truly wondering what the goal is here today. Negative effect on available housing. The ordinance will have that. Negative effect on the rights of tenants, the ordinance will have that. Inconsistent regulation of housing, as I've already discussed. Or is it just to create a master listing of non-owner occupied structures in Pier? In my opinion, what is good for the goose is good for the gander. Why would you make the listing for, why would you not make the listing for all structures? Yet we are going to hold landlords and tenants to a higher level than the other patrons of Pier. In my thought process, the regulation as proposed should be conducted for all structures in Pier or none of them. A child is a child is a child is a child. The level of concern for any structure should be the same whether it is rental or owner-occupied. Therefore, since the ordinances are already in place, the city should not implement another tax what will only affect the landlord and the tenants if it's already being collected across the board for the ordinances we already have in place. Again, I rise in opposition of the proposed ordinances. Thank you.
Thank you for coming tonight. Further opponents? Yes, sir. Please come and let everyone know who you are.
My name is Stan Olson, and I would ask some questions. I'm in contact with different people with different issues. My concern is I oppose bureaucracy every step of the way. And I don't want to offend anyone, but we put ordinances in place and they grow where they become cumbersome. And in California today, it costs $100,000 to get permits to build a house and don't put one item or stick in the house. Now that's pretty serious. So my question is, where and what is the true goal of what's taking place? Is it an economic income source? Is it a protection for the renters? I have certain rules in my units. If the police are called for a domestic dispute, I have it in my contract, the tenant will move. So I want to support a safe place for people to live. The thing I've been finding is talking to people. A group shows up and suddenly the house is boarded up. They can't go in to fix the property. That's pretty heavy-handed. I think we all should be contacted, told what the problems are, and give us a chance or a period of time to correct the problems, if that makes sense. It shouldn't be boarding up anybody's property. I don't feel that it's necessary to close down a rental unit on a short notice. As we look at what's happened economically, Pierre has become equal to Minneapolis as a place to live. I don't know if you're aware of that. I do. We have constant increase in cost. We had an opportunity to have a water treatment plant provided with water from the rural water system. It was turned down. So today, we're building a plant. And by the way, I voted to put the plant in. We had no other choice because the water is all used up. And the reason that I understood it was given for turn it down, those miles of pipe we put in. Some of that water went clear to Huron, which is 10 times the distance we had to go. So I guess what I'm really coming to is this. We don't need to rush into whatever we do. We need to communicate with one another, and I think it would be a wise thing to ask everyone that's a landlord to provide their email address or some way so each commissioner and the mayor's contact point would be made available. We need to communicate. We need to work together. But we don't need to do things that are not necessary. What's happened in the rental market is this. All the better renters have bought homes. So our pool of renters is changing to those who find it difficult to pay rent. I find people who say, well, I'm going to do this. If you don't let me do this or do that or make me pay rent, I'm going to call the city and shut you down. So my concern is, are we putting something in effect that forces us to provide free rent, being pressured into things that are not good for the landlords? I did the calculations on the investment, and I figured there's about $200 million of investment by landlords in the Pier, Fort Pier area. And that's quite a group to take on as a city, if you think it through, what the result's going to be.
Stan,
I appreciate your time, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Stan. Okay, further comments from anyone? Yes, welcome. Let everyone know who you are, please.
Yep. My name is Jasper Deagle, and I am a peer resident here, and I own an association management firm and lobbying firm. And one of my clients here is the South Dakota Manufactured Housing Association. We represent several sectors of manufactured housing, and a lot of we have several members that have communities here in Pier. And we have some big concerns about this program being implemented. And a lot of those include the increased cost for affordable housing and an overreach of government action. We have some concerns that this impedes on the right of private businesses, contracts, and individual choice. Our members and our association are very against any type of blanket mandates at any level, whether it be at local, state, or federal levels, because we just do not believe that that's a responsible way to address issues, and this is what we think that this program is doing. We also, you know, we live in a state that promotes choice and responsibility and personal freedoms, and I think that this program is taking all of the responsibility of renters and saying, hey, it's not your job to know what the law is. It is only the landlord's. We all have the responsibility. And if you look at the Attorney General's website and their handbook on what renters and landlords need to follow, it's rights and responsibilities on both ends. And this takes it and only puts it on one end. And I'm serving on a committee right now that is looking at landlord-tenant laws in the state for session to bring new laws there. And everything that you're saying tonight already has avenues that can be addressed. And so those are some of our biggest concerns. The other thing that I just want to talk about is on the city's website, there was it said in there, it's that it's only $15 or approximately $125 a month, that that's all it would be per unit. And I think that that's pretty misleading to say that that's all it is, because the city is not the ones paying it. It is the landlords that they will be responsible, and those fees will then be passed down to the end consumer, which is just how all cost increases are. And I think as we're in a pandemic with COVID and the rental market as it is, it's just an irresponsible program implementation. And I just thank you again for your comments. We would strongly urge you to vote no on this and look at other avenues such as education and going about this in another way. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Randy, let everyone know who you are, please.
I will. Mr. Mayor, Commissioner is Randy Moses. I happen to be one of these landlords that's dealing with this issue, and I believe you've all heard from me on a couple of different occasions. And so I won't reiterate what I've said before. I don't like the program any more than I did before, so let that part lie. But I do want to pick up on a couple things that were said. JJ mentioned this. Prior speaker mentioned it. I had offered, and I know the Home Builders Association offered, said, hey, let's sit down, have a working group, committee, whatever, get us stakeholders involved, and sit down and work this out, and see if we can come up with some alternatives that everybody can live with. That hasn't happened. It should happen. I don't know why you don't want to do that. That's the way to get consensus, is get us involved. I will again offer my services. I've certainly spent a lot of time working in legislative items for decades. certainly know how to do that process. So I certainly would offer my services, and I'm sure, I know a lot of the folks here with a lot of expertise in this area, even more than myself, would certainly be glad to help. So my urging of this to this body is to reconsider what you have before us, bring us in, let's sit down as a working group, and let's look at some alternatives. Maybe there's something better out there, maybe there isn't, but let's give us a chance to work on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents from anyone here tonight? Further opponents? Any other comments? Yes, Tom, please.
Yes.
Yeah, let everybody know who you are.
Tom Maher. I've lived in Pierre basically all my life, and I've spoken at the earlier hearings. I don't believe that there's been a showing that this is necessary. The first time we've even had anything close to that was when Twyla sprang up the four little pictures that were one was, and that's four instances which you can well cover with your property code maintenance if your building officials are doing their job. You don't need to put a net over all of these people that have made major investments in this property, went through inspections when they did. Let's say there's 1,200 units and you've described four things to support the need for this. The one looked to me like a electric bulb, okay? The second one was a window. Frankly, that house looked like it was abandoned. I'm not so sure that that and the basement weren't abandoned houses. And I agree there should be hot water. But those four things, and that's all we've seen here, for this massive bureaucracy that we're talking about imposing on people in perpetuity, that means forever, okay? And, you know, and yes, we are only going to ask about these things, but that's today, and those things can be added to. And we've been told we're going to be kind to you when we do these inspections. I mean, that's just like, I'm here from the government, and I'm here to help, okay? Those oral kind of statements don't last. Now, the what you've got here is a major change in philosophy from private property, free enterprise, to government regulation. We, the government, know better than you, the landlord. The person that invested this money maintains it. When we talked about the issues that the fire department saw, there was not one person that they could point to that if the landlord was told about it, that didn't replace the smoke detector. The tenant should not be running to you with a problem. He should call the landlord. He should deliberately say, this is my problem. He should put it in writing, okay? But he should, and more importantly, he could move. That's how free enterprise works, okay? And saying that these people don't have the money to pay for a good apartment, when they get these $3,000 or $6,000 pandemic or stimulus checks, they don't cure up the back rents. They do not cure up the back rents. That gets spent. I'll bet there wasn't 10% of that money that got applied on back rent to help these people do repairs. Now, you've indicated you made some changes, but really what you did was you changed the word license to registration. But then you put under registration, if you're not registered, all the things that go along with yanking your license. It's even worse than what you had before. It didn't improve. And if you would have had some of these people on, they would have told you about this. But when you had it before, now you have it that it's mandatory that all of these apartments can be inspected. I don't agree that you have the right to come into all my buildings and inspect. No more than the tenant that lives there will let you in. Okay? That is a right of private property that you're changing from, that I'm surprised in this state we would even think about that. So that's a major change that I'd ask you to think about. Not the nitty-gritty of this, but is this good public policy to start imposing on the people that have built these apartments for you? And there are a lot of nice apartments, and there are a lot of good people running them. Now, and so it, before we talked about this inspection, but now, and pulling your license, but now it's in here, and I gave you each a copy of it, that if you don't, if you're not responsive, you can pull their utilities for the building. Well, there are tenants in there, and in the wintertime, somebody's going to freeze, or in the summertime, somebody's going to get a heat stroke, and there's going to be a big lawsuit against probably the landlord. But if the city is the one that cut off the utilities, it'll probably be against the city. Now, I think you need to reconsider. You haven't shown a need. You have not shown a need. You put up four little pictures. I've asked how many actual cases do you have in this year of something that you're trying to do? I'll bet it's not four or five or six. Okay, and if you're and I ask you this morning, Christy, how many is it? How many is it that we have actually this year?
Mayor, do you want me to respond?
Please.
Probably, and I don't have the exact number, but probably a dozen of inside buildings. But we have multiple property maintenance issues across the board.
Mowing the lawn,
inside and out,
weeds.
Okay, garbage,
does,
trash,
a
lot of things. I don't have the exact number.
Call it
you.
A dozen.
Rentals or
yeah. You don't have this many rentals that have a problem. This is a solution that will take everybody's right to rent. You could pull their right to rent in support, in search of a problem. So I know my 3 minutes are up.
It's over 6 minutes.
Okay.
Tom, please wrap it up. There's others that want to talk.
Yeah. No one was coming forward. That's why I raised my hand. But the point being is you've got enough power to do this now. I think there's some of you that feel you could use your existing powers to handle this. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
And not just Bruce, but you still have to say you have my 3 minutes.
That's right.
And mine.
Thank you.
Further comments from anyone? Further comments from anyone from the public? Okay, we have a... All right, welcome.
Hi.
Let everybody know who you are, please.
My name is Hank Schmidt. I guess the biggest thing I have with this is just imposing more fees on landlords. I mean, you know, we pay enough fees as it is. I mean, I work 12 hours a day to try to make a living. Someday I'm going to break even. Someday I may make money, but not if we keep imposing more fees. I think there's a way to do this without imposing more fees and invading people's privacy. That's what I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments, please. Stan, welcome. Let everyone know who you are.
Stan Schwallenbach. I've lived in Pierre my whole life, so I can see a little perspective from this. I will not go over from what Mr. Maher so eloquently said, but I got just a personal observation. See that some of the problems that are going on here are from police calls. Kind of gets the ball rolling. Well, we used to have a cooperation with the Pierre Police Department where we belonged to an association between the police and the landlords. In fact, some of us even put placards about our buildings when we did that. Thank you. You got good. I cannot remember that. And I attended a meeting. And I still use what I taught at that first meeting in my buildings now. How to make it safer for my tenants and for the public. But it's this one meeting. Who's our liaison from the Pierre Police Department to the landlords right now? We have none. the program just stopped. And we're talking about partnerships. That's the first place to start. I don't want please calls at my investments. In fact, I get the Capital Journal so I can go through the police blotter and try to figure out what's going on in my properties, because for privacy reasons, for whatever reasons, there's no communication back and forth now. I'm the last person to find out if there's a problem in one of my buildings. And I'm the first person who can take care of it and will. But it's a two-way street. So hopefully with all this, we can come and maybe start this program up again or improve upon it. It was a good program. But what does anybody remember our first meeting 15 years ago? One and done. So maybe that's a place where we can do some cooperation and maybe be better for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Stan. Further comments from anyone here? Yes. Jill, welcome. Let everyone know who you are for the everybody watching.
I'm Jill Bartlett, and I have been in Pierce since 1971. This is 50 years for Dean and I. We're in the rental business, and it was a little unnerving when we were called about a month ago that our property was going to be padlocked up in about an hour, and it was a $150,000 property, we're told. I was in the process of evicting a renter that didn't want to pay rent. Now, the city showed up an hour later after lunch, drilled holes in the steel door, pulled the utilities, and we started to try to communicate with the city. We were told the foundation was in bad shape. We immediately called Bros Engineering. They came in and said that wasn't the case. The property needs some love. But, you know, with the last few years with COVID, it's difficult to get in. It's hard to hire repair people. We have a buyer for the property, but we can't get the condemned stickers off until we do all the repairs. And the problem is the people that want to buy would like the condemned stickers off. And they feel like the city is, their construction person said, you know, sometimes the city is one-ups everything. And so we're going to get out of the rental business, because I'm getting about 20 phone calls a day for rentals. And I just tell them, move to Sioux Falls or Rapid City. There's nothing in town. We're going to have no workforce in here if this continues with the mindset that you are. There's ways to solve this. But, you know, having a situation of coming in and locking up, padlocking your property like this, I don't think it's good business. I mean, this could have been called, and I could have come in and said, what's your problem? And we would have gone through it, and we would have solved them just like we're solving now. But I think coming in and high-handing us like you are, I was told I wasn't in compliance with evicting a renter. I called the Attorney General, State of South Dakota. They told me exactly what to do. And, you know, what do we do? It's a real complicated situation. I don't know if anybody else in this room has experienced having their property condemned, but our property went from $150,000 to zero until we can do everything on the list. Now, one of the things on the list is a crawl space. There's two crawl spaces. The plumber gets in successfully. The bug man gets in successfully. But it's not what is on our list. It's not acceptable. There's some of those things that are a little bit difficult. The wiring, the updated wiring situation. When we bought the property, we were told it was in compliance. We had the city over there, but now the new people say, no, it isn't. I mean, we have ways to solve it and satisfy them, but I think the style of coming in and locking up your property and padlocking everything up and taking it out of a rental ability, this is, you know, does it need love? Yes. It needs flooring again. It needs paint again. you know, these kind of things. But I think the style that you're moving toward is not in the best interest of Pierre. I don't think we should be doing things like this. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Jill. Further comments from anyone here? Welcome. Please let everyone know who you are.
Thank you. My name is Mandy Kuipers. My husband and I became new landlords in here in Pierre about a year and a half ago. We currently own 7 units and have been looking at investing in additional ones. And I just wanted to say that it's already, obviously, we both have full-time jobs and we'd love to invest in our community. And this just seems like it's going to take more of our time to continue through these regulations. And I would just love to be a part. I'm in the mortgage industry and I'm seeing the need. I get calls every day, which we've said. And so we'd love to invest in our community and I'm just hoping that we can continue to do that. But if all these regulations are in place, I don't think we're gonna be able to continue that with just me and my husband being the landlords. So thank you.
Thank you, Mandy. Further comments? Yes, Steve, welcome, and let everyone know who
Steve
you are.
Steve Brown. Please. I've never lived in Pierre. So anyway, a couple things I wanted to just mention. When Twyla was initially talking, she was talking about if tenants complained being evicted. Well, I believe that's illegal, that you cannot do that. If someone complains, you can't kick them out of their apartment. So that's already been addressed in state law. The second thing is that I noticed she said that when you were looking at this program, you looked at several different cities and looked at what they had done in this area. And the young lady who got up, and I don't know who she is right here, said that Sioux Falls is a program that is not charging people anything. And it works pretty well. Am I correct?
Yes.
Was that looked at? Because, you know, and I've told this to Vaughn, every time you put some more cost on landlords, you are jacking up the cost of living here. Everything that happens, regulation-wise, we have to raise our rents to keep up. And that's hard to do because you've got tenants who are in there. And, you know, I don't like raising rents on people. But you know what? You've got to do it sometimes. And so I think maybe you should go back and look at that Sioux Falls deal and maybe visit with this lady about it, see what it was, because if it's not costing anything and it's working, let's look at it. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Further comments from anyone? Yes, sir. Welcome. Please let everyone know who you are.
I'm Jesse Lee. It's probably more than you guys thought you were getting into here, but I guess more than anything, it's a privacy issue and personal property more than anything. I did this, got into this business for myself, and I hate to think of the fact that when I retire, I'm going to have government in charge of it. I don't think you guys have any business being in it whatsoever. You have every authority you possibly could need to do anything you need right now. Unequivocally, my tenants are just that they actually, I don't think they even believe me when I tell them that somebody might just be coming into their apartment to do an inspection. Like, who do they think they are? Because you don't think they live properly, or that's the way they choose to live? I'm not worried. The fees are the least of it, although they're a part of it, because ultimately, if this passes, it'll definitely increase what I charge for rent. It has to. That's the way business works. And I just think you guys need to think long and hard about this, because I can't honestly see where this is a necessity. You talk about 4 incidents in years or 12 incidents, and most of them incidents, I believe you have people right now that handle them. Whether it was police or animal control, whatever. I think you're overstepping your bounds big time. This is not what I got into this business for. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments from anyone? Any further comments from anyone? Yes, Rick, welcome, and let everyone know who you are.
Hi, I'm Rick Jensen. I just have a question. Who's the driving force behind this? Is there one or two people? I know Commissioner Johnson, I think it's important to you, obviously, but and I might even know where that all started. To me, this is not who we are. We're not San Francisco, California, or New York City. I mean, we all love this city. We want to make it better. We want beautiful properties. But this is not, it's a huge overreach, in my opinion. I just think there's so many better ways to handle it. Why would anybody want to invest in Pierre right now, knowing that you're going to have this government regulation? Why wouldn't you go to Lawrence County or somewhere else? I mean, this is going to defeat what you're trying to do. I mean, landlords will pass on all those costs. Not everybody can live in an $800 rental. You know, some people need a $400 or $500 rental. I mean, I understand it's got to be clean. It's got to work. I mean, if you're working at a fast food. And the whole idea of Pierre Housing inspecting our properties. Pierre Housing has 60 units. They bought 30 houses. I mean, is it your goal to have the Pierre Housing Authority to own the majority of the rentals in this town? I mean, I think the private ownership and capitalism is what would make more sense. But I just don't understand the need. One of those pictures was a basement of mine, a fourplex there with a bowed wall. I had talked to Blackburn. They were going to come out later this spring. There was no one living above that for 18 months. And like they said, they showed up one day in my office with a building inspector and a man with a gun on his hip, a police officer, and it just seems to me it's heavy-handed. I mean, we all want to make this place better and more beautiful. I think we have, and I know I have, but there's work to do. Tenants, you know, have to take some responsibility, too. I've had so many stories I could tell you about tenants, and I think they have some skin in the game, too. So I think it needs to be thought out a little bit longer. So I certainly oppose the regulation. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Further comments from anyone? Yes, welcome. Please let everyone know who you are.
My name is Harris Benali. I've been living here for like about 18 years now. I made Pierre my home. You know, the thing that bothers me is that the rental, you know, some of these landlords, they help these renters, you know, because they can't afford it. But if this thing passes, you know, some of these renters wouldn't be afforded, especially with the you guys pulling the electrical meter, you know. I think the Mid-Dakota utility does better than, you know, pulling it during the wintertime. They keep it on if you don't pay it. I mean, I've never paid my heating during the wintertime. It stays on. So with this pulling the meter and shutting the electrical off, I think that's going to cause more problems, and, you know, especially with the Native American community. So that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Thank you. Further comments from anyone here? Welcome, Kelly. Let everyone know who you are, please.
I'm Kelly Cruz. I have rentals in town. I appreciate Dylan's comment on that, but I'm going to say proudly that I'd live in any of my units. My biggest concern with this is there again, we're putting the burden on the tenants. And I have tenants that are on the edge. They barely can afford their rent the way it is, and my rents are not high. Somebody in this town that makes minimum wage at $9.45 an hour makes $1,512 a month. You take some of the rents out after you do this increase, they're not going to be able to afford it. And where does that put them? And my other concern, I think this ordinance is way too vague. You say there's fees, but then you mentioned a registration fee, application fee, no entry fee, violation fees, failing to make the repair fees, other penalties, additional fees. There's no allotted time that's specified. It's just way too vague. I think everything needs to be an exact amount. Exact, because you could add up thousands and thousands of dollars with one resident. So that's my two cents.
Thank you, Kelly. Further questions or comments from any of the public here? All right, then I will close the public comment portion and bring it back to the commission. I want to remind everybody that we are not going to take action on this tonight. I really appreciate everyone that came tonight, and proponents and opponents, and all of your comments. And we're going to take a look at this again now. And after we've, you know, heard from everybody, relook at things. And, you know, I'm going to bring this back to the commission in 2 weeks. And during that time, we're going to take a look at things, and then we will bring it back to the commission for further comments by the commission, and then we'll go from there. So I appreciate everybody coming tonight, and the professionalism that everyone, you know, let the commission know their concerns and their ideas and their suggestions. I thought there were great comments. So do any of the other commissioners have any comments? All right. Then thank you, everyone, for coming, and we'll bring this back in 2 weeks. Thank you for coming tonight.